atop the skyline of downtown Chicago to 38 states and Canada. Your host for this evening, Justin Kaufman.
WGN Radio with you for an hour here. Quick truncated program before Nick D takes over at 11 o'clock. The Blackhawks with another win. They should be playing in Canada all the time. Good stuff as the Blackhawks getting hot at the right time. Lots to do tonight. Since we have an hour, we want to get right to it because, of course, we have some great people in studio. So we continue, as we've been doing all week, our ultimate Chicago movie cage match. Tonight, a doozy. A great matchup of two SNL heavyweights. So let's get to it.
I want them dead.
Chicago.
I want them dead.
He pulls a knife.
Who's the U-boat commander?
You pull a gun.
Hi, dude.
That's nasty. Why?
That's Chet, Karen.
Now, Justin Kaufman presents the ultimate Chicago movie cage match. Bueller.
Tell me your children.
Our quest to find the best Chicago movie of all time. We are in the Elite Eight, started with 64 films. We are down to the last matchups. All this week, we bring you the heated matchups. Last night, Ferris Bueller beat Risky Business to join the Untouchables in the Final Four. So which movie tonight will join them? Will it be Wayne's World or The Blues Brothers? They are two of the biggest SNL movies in history. Jake and Elwood versus Wayne and Garth. Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, and Cab Calloway versus Alice Cooper, Tia Carrera, and Bohemian Rhapsody. It's John Belushi, it's Dan Aykroyd, Mike Myers, Dana Carvey, Chris Farley, Carrie Fisher, John Candy, and a donut shop named after Stan Mikita. You know the old saying, rock stars, they want to be comedians. And comedians, well, they want to be rock stars.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
I think we'll go with a little Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen.
Good call.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
We're putting the band back together.
Forget it. No way.
We're on a mission from God.
No stairway. Denied.
You better think about what you're saying. You better think about the consequences of your actions.
Oh, shut up, woman.
You better think.
Actually, it's pronounced Miliwake, which is Algonquin for the good land.
Does this guy know how to party or what?
Huh? Huh? Oh.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
We're not worthy! We're not worthy!
First you trade the Cadillac for a microphone. Then you lie to me about the band. Now you're gonna put me right back in the joint.
They're not gonna catch us. We're on a mission from God.
Elwood.
Elwood. 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you tonight and why you think either the Blues Brothers or Wayne's World should move on to the Final Four in our journey to find the best Chicago movie of all time. In studio tonight, to rep for the Blues Brothers is poet in Chicago, rock on tour, Mario Smith.
Wow.
Mario hosts news from the service entrance on Lumpin' Radio, as well as performs and produces all over town. Great to see you, buddy.
Good to be seen.
All right. And here to fight for Wayne's World is our very own Rich Lenkoff. Beyond hosting Legal Face-Off, Rich has his own movie podcast called The Movie Pod, which you can find on Stitcher and other places. And, of course, Rich produced a movie of his own, the documentary 85, the story of the greatest team in pro football history. Rich, great to have you here, man.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
All right, so let's get to it. You know, when I first reached out to both of you and said, what movies do you want? Mario, you said Blues Brothers. Why?
Because it's the greatest Chicago movie ever, man. You keep asking me like I'm going to change my answer. No, because the Blues Brothers means a lot to a lot of different people. Depending on your age, it's the first movie you saw that had people in it that lived in Chicago that looked like you. It's the movie where you saw stars who were quote-unquote fading reignite their careers, and it's just a really great movie, man. It's a great Chicago movie.
There you go. Okay, and Rich, Wayne's World, what is it about Wayne's World that has you here tonight?
So I picked Wayne's World because it hit at exactly the right point, I think, in our history, and especially pop culture history, to really hit a nerve with people my age, people our age. And while I will concede many things about the movie versus Blues Brother, I think for 10 reasons that I will give you, out of the top 10 reasons that Wayne and Garth have, it is unquestionably the more impactful movie, one that should definitely move on. You'll hear that in a couple minutes.
Wow. All right, on Facebook, if you go to our WGN radio page, you can vote for Blues Brothers or for Wayne's World, and Mario and Rich will be here tonight for the hour. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can text, you can call, you can make your argument for either the Blues Brothers, the number one seed coming out of the Wacker division.
That's right.
The Wacker division. Tough draw, admittedly, but we'll take it.
Against Wayne's World, which and we'll talk about how they both got here as well. But it's Wayne's World, it's Blues Brothers, it's WGN Radio, and our ultimate Chicago movie cage match. We'll take our first break, come back, and get the big arguments. So get in the conversation now. It's WGN Radio. It's 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, and it is the Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match. We are in the Elite Eight all this week. We're taking on the big matchups. If you're just joining us, we started with 64 Chicago films. We're trying to find the best Chicago film of all time, and we are now, after starting right before Christmas time, we are actually at the point where there are, what, six movie standings? After tonight, there will be three of the four for the final four will be in. The Untouchables won on Monday. Ferris Bueller won last night against Risky Business. And tonight it is the Blues Brothers, number one seed, against Wayne's World, which...
Winner.
Let me start right with this, Rich. Wayne's World has an uphill battle because Wayne's World... as you could make a strong argument that Wayne's World may be a better movie than Blues Brothers, but this contest is about the best Chicago movie. It's Aurora, it's not Chicago, and most of it was not shot here.
So here's my pitch and here's my reply. Are you ready? I'm about to flip the switch on this whole concept. All right. Brace yourself. Uh-huh. So I have to preface this by saying I'm all in on SNL. Like, I grew up watching SNL. My parents would let me sneak down and watch that show. I'm a huge Dana Carvey fan, Mike Myers. I'm Canadian. I grew up in Montreal, so I'm all in on this
stuff,
you're
all right? Right?
Like, I loved every Mike Myers movie. I loved So I Married an Axe Murderer. Very underrated movie.
Great movie. Yeah.
I even love the Love Guru, okay? I might be the only guy who can reference the Love Guru. I love that movie. That being said, talking about Wayne's World and answering your question, Justin, Mario, this movie sucks. Wayne's World sucks, okay? I watched Wayne's World in 1992 when it came out. I saw it at a double feature in Montreal with Spinal Tap, okay? And at the time, I ate it up. Loved it.
You went back and watched it again.
Back and watched it, as your producer did this week, and I couldn't get through it. It's a hard rewatch, right? The references don't hold up. There's not a lot of laughs in the movie, right? A lot of it falls flat. A lot of it is like a time capsule back to the early 90s, is okay.
Now, I will say, because it's very clever in the way they break the fourth wall. They do all these kind of things that are new to filmmaking in 1991 or whenever this was. But now everybody does it.
It's a really tough rewatch, okay? And to your point, it's filmed in California. There's palm trees. There's mountains. Mike Myers sounds Canadian in the whole movie. He's a guy who's supposed to be a headbanger from Aurora. He sounds Canadian. Okay? There's all sorts of problems with the hockey in the movie. He references Wayne Gretzky, as Pete said earlier. Yeah. He references Gump Worsley, neither of whom ever wore a Blackhawk sweater. Like, that alone should make
I'm waiting for the twist. I'm waiting for the twist.
The twist is...
I can't
wait. Despite its problems and despite the fact that I will sit here and say Wayne's World is currently an unwatchable film, it should win this contest hands down because of the impact it had in 1992 and the impact it continues to have today, far more than Blues Brothers, far more than The Fugitive, far more than any movie on this list. Boom, I've said it. Let's go. Good night. And I'll tell you the top 10 reasons why.
All right, we're going to get right back to the top 10 reasons. Let's go to Mario. I'll stay with you, Rich. I'll stay with you. The Wayne's World. Is there one redeeming scene in it? Is there a scene where you're like, okay, that's funny. That's what he's doing with the... Because I remember they had the product placement jokes in that, where they would throw the Pepsi cup, and that was new at the time.
That
became Mike Myers' shtick for years after the fact, but it was new at the time.
Product placement stuff is great. You know, listen, the first real product placement movie that really hit was E.T., right, with the Reese's Pieces. Mm-hmm. Famous story of how they wanted M&M's, and that whole deal went down because Hershey's didn't think it would be a successful movie, right? One of the great product placements of all time. 10 years later, you've got Mike Myers in Wayne's World lampooning that whole thing while also putting forth a ton of product placement. So, great you know, use of a product placement there, more as a satire. Listen, there's lots of redeeming qualities about the film. In and of itself, there are some funny parts. But as a person who's watching it now 30 years later, and let me just say, I'm not some comedy snob. I love dumb comedy. Like, to put
you said you love the Love Guru.
Love Guru. I love Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Same time, right, a couple years later, mm-hmm. similar concept, two young slackers. To me, Beavis and Butthead holds up today. I could watch that today and laugh. This is a tough rewatch. So in terms of just a pure movie, I have some problems with it. But in terms of its impact and why it should win this cage match, hands down, it should.
Okay, we'll get to the top 10 in just a second. 630 says, my kids were home for Christmas break, age 20 and 18. They watched Wayne's World and said it was the worst movie they ever saw. Didn't finish it.
That's about right.
That's about right. Mario, let's get into Blues Brothers. You were here before. You won when you beat Uncle Buck in the last time through. But Blues Brothers, and you mentioned a kernel that I think a lot of people forget, is that these were some of the stars in this film when you look at it in 2020. You say Aretha Franklin, mm-hmm. Ray Charles, James Brown, Chaka mm-hmm. Khan's and in man, the choir. There's so many great people. But they were all kind of waning in their careers in 1980.
With maybe the exception of Chaka, yeah. Pinetop Perkins is in this movie. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you start talking about great American musicians, chances are John Landis had them in this movie. It's a John Landis movie. Come on, man.
Yeah.
One of the greatest days in history. I remember it well. June 16, 1980, The Blues Brothers is out. They had been killing it on SNL. They had a couple of albums out. They this controversy about Belushi and how high is he going to be in the movie and now all this stuff. It is one of those movies that if you have any idea of the backstory going in, you're still like, till the end, you're like, okay, I get it. This is camp. This isn't real. None of it is real.
Yeah.
But the thing that was real, there were real people in that movie. It is the reason the Chicago, that the city of Chicago has a film office. Mm. It was created specifically because of this movie.
Now, there's a great story about Jane Byrne, and up to this point, we've talked about it on this during this as we kind of get into Chicago history as well, but that there was no film office, and Mayor Daley didn't want film here.
Right.
And Jane Byrne almost let all of this stuff happen as a little snub, if you will, or a little flip to for the old machine, including letting them crash up Daley Plaza
exactly. at the end of that movie. That was intentional on her part. Bless her. And I mean, just the amount of violence that was implicated in this movie. They crashed up Daily Center. They jumped off of bridges. Mm. They did all kinds
of
just cool
the
stuff.
Mall.
The Dixie Mall. They destroyed an already decrepit mall.
I think we found this, Pete, and the stat is this is still today, the most expensive comedy ever produced.
It is.
Because John Landis and the Belushi and Aykroyds, they crashed everything. They couldn't believe how expensive this movie was to produce. And they made their money back, and over years, I think it's one of the highest grossing comedies of all time. But the point being, it was just all on automobiles.
Well, you know, and then you made the SNL reference. This is the movie that made SNL. Every SNL movie that has ever been made, no matter how horrible they may have been, The Blues Brothers is the reason why that was good. It wasn't a Lorne Michaels movie in as much as it was Belushi and Aykroyd, and they were SNL at the time. If they could have had Bill Murray in that movie, too, it would have been we wouldn't be having this
or
conversation.
Or any of the other cast members.
Or any other cast members.
John Candy makes it. He wasn't on SNL. He makes an appearance in the film.
Yeah, it's a great.
Carrie Fisher.
And it's also really, it's one of those movies that holds up very well. It's still funny. There's still elements of it that are ridiculously funny. The line, how many times have you heard "We're on a mission from God"? Just on a project you're working on.
Every it's you one of the mean? Most it's, famous lines
from
in
God.
Yeah, from God. But it goes back to your point about when you watch, you know, Wayne and Garth. They have Canadian accents. Maybe not as much Dana Carvey as Garth. He's just a bumbling kind of sidekick, but. You listen to Aykroyd and Belushi, they pour it on. I mean, the mission from God.
Yeah,
everything about it, they are putting. I mean, Aykroyd's Chicago accent is off the charts.
It's like spot on. And I also think that this is the movie that made Chicago cool to film. It's such a beautiful city to film. And I think, I can't remember the name of the TV show that Mayor Daley was really mad about, which is why they hadn't filmed anything for decades in Chicago.
Mm.
It was a Lee Marvin.
No. that was a sitcom on a lot, but yeah.
It was a Lee Marvin TV show where he played a detective. Yeah. Can't remember, but Mayor Daley was hot, super hot about this movie because it portrays Chicago in a bad light. Blah, blah, blah. So there were no more movies. Here comes the Blues Brothers breaking every mold in that genre of comedy movies, destroying the city.
Mm-hmm.
and then rebuilding it up and presenting it so beautifully. It's a great American movie.
It really is. And I love the film because of the musicians, and it is a musical comedy. Meaning it never gets genred that way.
But it is.
Right. There'll be all these kind of remakes of Broadway musicals we haven't seen in Christmas time with Cats or whatever, and everyone on the line. But this movie, if you watch the structure of this film, it is these two brothers moving in and out of musical numbers. The James Brown in the church is amazing.
Yeah.
The Ray Charles, what do you mean there's no action on this piano? And he starts playing.
And
they all dance in the street. It's reminiscent of a Broadway feel. Not much of what you usually expect from a Belushi and Aykroyd jam.
And you got to remember, too, man, some of the best. That album still bangs, man. You had the rhythm section for Stax Records in that movie with Doug Dunn and Steve Cropper. Why are we having this conversation? What time is it? Isn't this over? Oh, I won! Blues Brothers!
Not so fast, my friend.
Oh.
Not so fast.
You lead course.
All right, let me get to some of these texts, which are not going your way, Rich, but I'm waiting for your twist.
I got my twist, man. I got my list. Let's go.
All right, so from the beginning, gotta be Blues Brothers. Blues Brothers. Must be Blues Brothers. Blues Brothers, no doubt. BB, which I think would be Blues Brothers.
I would hope so.
Even though I am part of the Wayne's World generation, this is from 708. I really enjoyed that movie. I think Blues Brothers is the more iconic Chicago movie. This has been a fun segment. Love the show. Thank you. BB, another BB. It's fun to see a lot of BBs. Come on. Blues Brothers, all the way with some swears.
Oh, well, that's always good. Yeah. That's how you know it's real.
That was Mario.
That wasn't me.
On a cell phone. I saw
my phone
earlier.
Is over here. I got it put away.
So such great stuff here. All right, 312-981-7200. Help Rich out. When we come back, Rich is going to give us the top 10 reasons why Wayne's World should beat Blues
this
Brothers.
Should be interesting.
Case over.
If you want to vote, you can still vote on our Facebook page, WGN Radio. And, of course, you can just text in and we'll add it to the vote here in studio. All right, 312-981-7200. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Mario Smith and Rich Lenkoff in studio. It's Blues Brothers. It's Wayne's World. It's the ultimate Chicago movie cage match. It's 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you'd like to weigh in on the ultimate Chicago movie cage match. All this week, we've been doing the Elite Eight. If you're just joining us, we had 64 films to start as we try to find the best Chicago movie of all time. We are down to the Elite Eight. The Untouchables and Ferris Bueller's Day Off have moved on to the final four. And tonight, it'll be either Blues Brothers or it'll be Wayne's World. Wayne's World, of course, the underdog in this one is Blues Brother, is the iconic Chicago film, and really the favorite, the crowd favorite. I mean, it's playing on its home court tonight.
All right.
And you can vote for the poll. Let me tell you how these films got here. This is kind of fun to look at. Blues Brothers has done so well in this tournament because even when it comes to percentages and votes, the closest it obliterated Chain Reaction. That was the 16 seed.
Oh, boy.
Then it went on to League of Their Own, beat League of Their Own handily, not even close. And then in the Sweet 16, it dispatched John Hughes' comedy, Uncle Buck. That was the closest, but that was still 80% for Blues Brothers. That's how popular this film is. For Wayne's World, it beat up on Roll Bounce in the first round. Roll Bounce, which was the, I think it was the State Street Pitcher guys. That's the roller skate, Southside roller skate movie. Then they beat my favorite movie of all time, Running Scared, in the second
round.
Love
that movie. Great movie.
Which I was so bummed. I'm like, I don't know how Wayne's World beats Running Scared, but I think that's people like Wayne's World. It's a popular
best
movie.
Best ever tap dancer turned cop movie, for sure.
For sure. And then it pulled the upside, I think a little bit of an upset, Wayne's World over High Fidelity in the Sweet 16.
High Fidelity's a great movie. Got a lot of friends in that movie.
There you go. So, tonight, Wayne's World, trying to, against all odds, beat Blues Brothers. And Rich Lenkoff is here. He is, of course, he's the host of Legal Face Off, and he's also got his movie podcast called The Movie Pod. And he produced a documentary, 85, the story of the greatest team in pro football history. You've got a top 10 list on why Wayne's World should upset Blues Brothers. Let's get to it.
Let's go. So Wayne's World was famous for their top 10 list, right? So I put together one here.
Wayne's World.
Why Wayne's
World?
Exactly. You got to do the whole thing. So why Wayne's World is more impactful and should win this hands down? Number 10. Let's start with number 10. This movie was viral before there was a thing like viral, okay? This movie came out before the internet was a thing, before, you know, Twitter and all that, yet everyone knew about this movie, right? Mm-hmm. And when the skits came out, everyone knew about it. It was a whole thing. It was like, again, viral before Viral was a thing. You all can't say that about Blues Brothers. That's number 10, okay?
Okay.
Number 9 reason is you mentioned John Candy. I'm a huge John Candy fan. First appearance in Blues Brothers. Well, the maybe progeny of John Candy is Chris Farley.
Right.
This is Chris Farley's first appearance on film. And actually does a lot of exposition, admittedly, but does a lot in a small role as the bouncer really outside of Gasworks, right?
It's a scene stealer.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is his first appearance and led to an amazing run on SNL and in film, right? So first Farley appearance is reason number 9. Reason number 8, Rob Lowe. All right, Rob Lowe was unemployable before Wayne's World.
And
he was coming off
he's coming off
Atlanta
the
sex scandal.
Right.
In fact,
Lorne Michaels, who produced this film, said to the director, Penelope Spheeris, said, hire Rob Lowe. He can't get a job anywhere else. He's going to come cheap. So why is that impactful?
Wow.
Rob Lowe actually went on to have a pretty good career after this.
He was in Black Sheep.
A few years later.
Tommy Boy, one of those two.
He was in Black Sheep. He was in Tommy Boy. A few years later, he gets away. The West Wing, one of the biggest shows in history. He goes on to Parks and Rec, and he says in an interview recently, a reunion of Wayne World, he said that you can trace back my entire comedic career to Wayne's World. So revival of Rob Lowe, let's go. That's number 8.
For or against.
Number 7, right, exactly. Number 7, Mario mentioned that Blues Brothers was the first SNL movie. Well, this was the highest grossing SNL
movie,
$183 million, made on a tiny budget. It took them 32 days to film. For me, that's one of the reasons why there are so many holes in the movie, because they did it really quick, but a high grossing movie. That will, I'll call back that later as to my number one reason. Number, where are we? 6th reason. Number 6 reason. Blues Brothers was technically the first one. Wayne's World started the run of SNL movies, all produced by Lorne Michaels.
Yes.
And in many ways led to many of the comedic, many of the comedies that defined the last 20 years. So
that's a valid point. I will say, though, it's also a strength for Blues Brothers that it wasn't produced by Lorne Michaels.
Absolutely.
Only because I feel like Lorne Michaels, at this point, became the conglomerate that's like, you can't do an SNL movie unless I'm in it.
Anytime you got a skit, a character, it became a movie in the 90s, but you know, this led to Coneheads, Stewart Saves His Family, Night of the Roxbury, It's Pat, so forth. They even tried it, you know, about 10 years ago with MacGruber. Didn't quite work.
Right.
But this did lead to a string of huge movies that went from SNL to the big screen. All right, let's keep going. You mentioned We're on a Mission from God. Well, that was a great catchphrase from this movie. Wayne's World generated probably 15 of them, right?
It did.
And not just among kids, not just among SNL fans, but it really reverberated into the popular culture.
Now, we'll move on to number 4 here, but I also will push back saying the skit did, and they just redid it. They regurgitated it for the movie and for the second one, which is like just a redo of every joke from the first. But go ahead, number 5. Number 4.
Next one, and this is a huge one. And this is a huge one. You talked about music and Blues Brothers.
Yeah. Yes.
This revived Queen.
Yes,
period.
Absolutely.
End of story, right?
Absolutely.
So Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody came out in 1975. This movie came out in 1992.
Yeah.
By 1992, Queen was not a popular act. Most people who were in their teens or early
20s
had
no idea
who Queen was, right?
Yeah.
Boom, this movie hits, Bohemian Rhapsody, iconic scene, and Queen explodes again, right? The soundtrack becomes number 1 over Nirvana. Picture that today. Wayne's World soundtrack became number 1
over Nirvana.
Over
That's
Nirvana,
crazy.
Never mind.
Yeah,
okay.
Wow.
The video won an MTV Video Award. That led to the renaissance of Queen. Freddie Mercury died around the same time. Guess what? Bohemian Rhapsody movie that's made almost $1 billion a couple years ago would not be around without Wayne's World. Rami Malek won the Best Actor last year. Now a Bond villain.
Here we go.
Would not happen.
There'd be no Rami Malek.
There would be
Wayne's
no
World.
Rami Malek. That's what I'm here to say,
All right,
Justin.
Okay, I gotcha.
Next one,
number 3,
and this one's going to blow your mind, Mario.
Oh,
get
not,
ready.
Not,
Are you
these
sitting
other
down?
Eight haven't.
Wayne's World invented YouTube.
Ooh, they did.
Let's go.
Yeah, right.
So Wayne's World was a public access show, right, in someone's basement.
Okay.
Two dummies sitting around giving their opinions on nonsense.
Yeah.
No regulation out among the masses. What does that sound like?
Yeah,
that sounds like YouTube.
Like YouTube. Yeah,
it even sounds like podcasting, my friends.
Yep. YouTube.
We're all podcasting veterans.
Yeah.
So Wayne's World invented YouTube and podcasting. Number 2, broke the fourth wall.
Right.
It created a genre that we're now so familiar with comedically. We've seen it in The Office, one of the most popular shows of all time.
But didn't create it, because the movie that won last night, Ferris Bueller, was produced 6 years before doing the same thing.
Didn't do it as much, and maybe not to the
maybe
same
not
degree.
As hokey.
All right, are you ready for the number one reason?
I know I'm ready.
Are you guys ready?
What's number one?
Number one reason why Wayne's World should win and is more impactful than Blues Brothers every day of the week is because of the era it came out in. All right, Blues Brothers came out in 1980. Wayne's World came out in 1992. When you compare the social and pop culture era of 80 versus 92, not even close. 92, that's when a lot of influencers, that's a lot of people our age, was really absorbing culture, right? We had MTV hitting.
MTV.
We had tabloids exploding. We had shows like Jerry Springer, Bill Clinton, Oprah, Bill Clinton.
All people watched
so,
the Blues Brothers.
So many eyes, because of the skit, because of the movie, because of the sequel, saw this movie and exploded, reverbed into the the culture.
That's good. Good job.
That's my top
10
list.
It's enough to...
Does your microphone even still work?
Okay.
You're speechless on this one.
This is probably the easiest segment of your life, Mario. Why should Wayne's World not move on?
Because of all those reasons.
Come on, man.
No, it shouldn't move on because I hate to, you know, you don't want to go beat a dead horse. Aretha Franklin, James Brown. Those two, just those two, are in the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
Chaka Khan, Ray Charles, Patrick Perkins, John Lee Hooker. That pause was me cursing
Cab
inside
Calloway.
My head. Cab Calloway
my
is
favorite
in this
of the
movie.
Whole bit. They're backstage, and it's such a great bit because they're like, oh, the Blues Brothers aren't here yet. And they're like, you need to stall. Yeah. They say to Cab Calloway.
Cab Calloway comes out.
He's just like, all right, I'll try something. And he goes on this mini of the Moocher. He does the whole bit. That's so great.
So look, you know, all those reasons are valid, and they're great. The Blues Brothers, ladies and gentlemen, 39 states and Canada, do you hear me? The Blues Brothers is the greatest Chicago movie ever made. Why? How much for the woman? How much for the little kid?
I want to buy your women.
All right, I will take on Wayne's World. Here's the issue that I'll speak for a lot of people on Facebook and social media who pointed this out. Number one, there's a distinction, and I quickly at the beginning of this tournament said, I do agree that films that were made in the suburbs are Chicago films. This film, though, sets place in Aurora, in a basement. Doesn't show Aurora at all in any form except for fake
sign,
Warner
one
Brothers,
sign.
One sign.
Yep.
So I feel like they missed an opportunity there to really ground it in Aurora. Secondly, they have the only time they really do anything that is Chicago are exteriors. And when you watch it again, you realize, I don't even think Wayne and Garth are there.
And it makes no sense because they go from Aurora to Berwyn.
Yeah. They go all over the place.
Who's driving 24 miles?
Right. No one.
Bohemian Rhapsody's on, and they're going past every you know, great Chicago, you know, sort of sculpture and things of that nature. But the problem is that you could tell that that's exterior work. And the third thing is, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not sure that Chicago plays much of a role in Wayne's World.
It doesn't play a role at all.
And I think you could talk about it. And as you said, it doesn't hold up great. But for all the things that you said, that it's a great movie for culture in 1992 and all that kind of stuff. If this tournament is truly about Chicago, this one has a big flaw. The fact that there are palm trees, it's shot in Warner Brothers, shot in L.A. Shot in a town by L.A. I don't know what it is.
At one point, don't they drive
or Covina?
At one point, don't they drive through the Warner Brothers movie lot?
I think they do.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You
see the LAX sign at one point.
Look, let's really just, you know, Stan Mikita, great man. Shout out to the Mikita family.
But wait, you mentioned Stan Mikita. That actually is a big point in its favor because that's the one reference to Chicago
that everybody
that
got
reverberated, right?
That's why it's in the tournament.
Yeah,
it's why it's in the tournament.
And that's a reference to Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons is a big donut chain where I grew up in Canada. Mm-hmm. That was his shout out to Tim Horton, who was a former Maple Leaf who died, who opened a chain of donut shops. But yeah, the Stan Mikita reference, I think, is unassailable.
You're right, though. They should have gone all the way because when they're doing the Here Comes the Car bit, when they're like, game off, game on, and they're talking about Wayne Gretzky, and they're talking about that's rough. It's rough for Chicagoans. Yeah. They seem to want to use Chicago as a prop.
Right.
It's a great. They got to set the movie somewhere, and they did it on the SNL bit that they were in Aurora, Illinois,
and
as a bit, not because Aurora's
that might be
special.
Might be more of a reference to Second City, and Second City television, than to SNL, the whole using Chicago as a backdrop, and maybe in its own way a reference to the Blues Brothers.
There's
as well.
A long-standing, and I'd have to look this up factually, but Wayne's World, the skit, began at Second City.
Yeah.
Wayne did the character, or Mike Myers did Wayne in Canada.
Yep.
And he had a run at Second City in Chicago, and he brought that character here, and they did a fake public access kind of thing, which they just drag and drop on Saturday Night Live. There's right. some that might still be a little bit sensitive about that, because some of the other cast members didn't go to SNL, and Mike Myers just took that whole premise. But the point being, that's where the Aurora comes from.
Yeah.
That's where it showed up on SNL, meaning it was a local joke at the time. They just kept it. So again, I'm not sure that qualifies. Stan Mikita is the reason it's in this tournament, but I'm not sure this is a Chicago movie.
Well, he says, he admits that he picked Aurora because he liked the way the name sounded.
Of course he did.
Had never been to Aurora. He said he thought that it was thematically similar to the neighborhood he grew up in Toronto called Scarborough. And his whole point was this was suburban white kids who were into metal and into driving around. By the way, I will say the Queen reference is great, and it did reestablish Queen. What metal headbangers would be headbanging to
Queen?
To
Queen, right?
Really?
And the last thing I'll say on behalf of Blues Brothers, which doesn't need my help at all, trust
no,
me.
No, sir.
But there could have been many places they could have shot on a lot in California where they stayed next to the L.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the little jokes that they put in that they specifically, even the... the scene where they go to visit the nun.
Yes.
And all that kind of stuff could be done anywhere. And they did it in Chicago. And there was something to be said that they went the extra mile to make it a Chicago movie where Wayne just thought it was a funny name.
And not just in one part of the city, all over Chicago.
Yeah, it really
all
is.
All over it, from the north side to the west side, far south, you know, some suburbs. They went all over the place. They went all over the Chicagoland area, and they treated the city wonderfully.
All right.
So we had Skatchel's beef in ours.
Skatchel's beef.
Come on.
No.
312-981-7200. I'm going to get to everybody's text coming up here. Mario Smith and Rich Lenkoff are here fighting it out between Blues Brothers and Wayne's World on which one of these films will move on to the final four of our Ultimate Chicago Movie Cage Match. We'll take our last break here and we'll come back and tally up the numbers. Stay with us. 312-981-7200. Rich Lenkoff and Mario Smith here tonight battling it out between Blues Brothers and
Badly.
Wayne's World. I want to get to the text and get everybody in here because, you know, everyone had their say. You could go to WGN Radio's Facebook page and vote for them. But at this point, it's a landslide. This is like the Duke Blue Devils firing on all cylinders in a Sweet 16 or an Elite 8 game.
It's a Chicago election night gone horribly wrong for my opponent.
All right, so 972 says Blues Brothers, period. I remember that Mike Myers chose Aurora because he liked the name of the city. That's what 708 says. He says Chris Farley. The answer is John Candy, Blues Brothers all the way.
Oh, Orange Whip, baby.
The only thing missing from the Blues Brothers movie is a Tim Allen at the end of the movie saying pure Chicago. I don't know what that means.
Wow.
I don't know what that means. But I think that's a vote against Blues Brothers.
All right.
Holly from the 630 says Blues Brothers hands down. Shake a Tail, Pharaoh, Think, Rawhide, the brass section, the fun dancing in the movie makes it great the whole way through.
Spray the movie, glue on a man's gas.
The movie introduces great music to every new generation that watches it. Film holds up and makes you proud to be a Chicagoan.
Don't forget Stand By Your Man.
That pretty much says it all. Wayne's World, 773 says just Wayne's World.
There we go.
There you go.
Thank you.
Come on, Street Hockey, a giant Stan Mikita, really, guys driving all over Chicago 90 miles an hour, not Wayne's World for sure.
Wow.
I think that's
right
up there.
Picking up some steam here.
Yeah. Blues Brothers all the way.
There goes that steam.
that steam. Why is this even having to be discussed? Wayne's World should not even ever been in the bracket to begin with, says Tony.
Wow, Tony.
There's some purists. Levitation of the Nun at the beginning is an awesome scene for starters. The Nun ruled. My vote, Blues Brothers. Even though I was born and raised in Aurora, even though my dad's name was Wayne, and at the time the movie came out, he drove a Pacer.
What?
It's still got to be Blues Brothers.
You can't get that guy?
No.
Bro, come on.
It's a wrap, man. Give it up. If Ric Flair would have walked through that door right now, I wouldn't be surprised.
In 1992, this is 60, I was away at school, missing my hometown of Aurora. I was psyched to see Wayne's World. The only thing I recognized from it was the highway sign, which had Aurora on it. The Blues Brothers, way more Chicago. Oof.
Absolutely.
Ooh,
there are some Dan Ryan Expressway shots in Wayne's World, though.
847 says, yeah. Blues Brothers all the way. Catching your show on a transistor radio in Key West.
My man.
There you go.
From 1984.
See, that's that just thing toward the window,
that,
sir.
And I'm sure that that person's like, it should be running scared. That's where they go down. They go to Key West to, when that's they want right. to buy a bar.
That's right.
Shine Sweet Freedom, Michael McDonald.
Oh, my God. Oh, great video, too.
How are we having this? How is this? This would have been much more interesting if it was Blues Brothers.
I want in on the greatest
scared.
Michael McDonald song cage match. Right? Yamo be there. Yamo I put my money on Yamo be there right
you.
Now.
I'm with you. Yamo be there. If I hear Yamo burn this building down.
847 says they drove a car through a mall. It's got to be Blues Brothers. Wayne's World is as much a Milwaukee movie as it is a Chicago movie.
Ooh. Alice Cooper
Blues Brothers
scene.
All the way. Boom, boom, boom. Blues Brothers, hands down.
Come on, man. Look.
It really is. It's Blues Brothers all the way down.
If only the Chicago Bulls were as good as the Blues Brothers right now.
No offense. Very, I think some of your listeners, and I'm probably in that age group, but they're maybe skewering a little older. I think one of the knocks against Blues Brothers, dude, is that most people who are like a little bit younger have no idea what Blues Brothers is.
Hey, you know what?
They do know Wayne's World, though. They know all those references.
Guess what was on TV tonight? It wasn't Wayne's World. It was the Blues Brothers. The Blues Brothers.
I know. Tony Boylan put on Facebook that Stars.
That's right.
Showing Blues Brothers tonight while we're having this conversation.
So now that argument also out of here.
Well, I wonder. I asked this question because I think Blues Brothers is going to move on here.
You think?
But it will have in the next round. It's going to have a tougher matchup. But I wonder, outside of Chicago, does Blues Brothers have the same impact? Do people who live in L.A. or Canada or in Florida, do they see Blues Brothers and go, I love it?
The Blues Brothers made more money internationally than it did domestically because white theaters wouldn't show it because it was a black movie.
I think Wayne's World translates better internationally than Blues Brothers because of all the dumb humor that's so accessible to anyone, right? Anyone can pick up on that humor. I will say, not to sound corny, as a young boy growing up in Montreal, it was one of the earliest movies I remember, Blues Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me to a whole different place. It was really my first intro to Chicago. And like down to the L scene where you see Dan Aykroyd's apartment.
That's so great.
It really was... It took you to a whole other place.
And I'll stop right here, but it also serves as a time capsule for what Chicago really looked like in 1980. And that's important because they're not sets. They're not set up where you're like, they're trying to make it look differently. This is Chicago as it looks in 1980. And it's fascinating. The Maxwell Street scene, where they go and find Aretha Franklin and the guitar player is unbelievable.
All of it.
All right.
I concede.
The Blues Brothers,
well, that's nice of you.
Wayne's World poll that we put up today, and we got hundreds and hundreds of votes here. Blues Brothers got 90% of the vote. Only 9%, 9.7% for Wayne's World. It's the highest so far in the cage match. Blues Brothers by a landslide.
Let's call it a walk-off.
I'm coming for you, fugitive.
Yep.
And
I'm coming
tonight
for
as
you,
well.
Baby.
So that means that the Blues Brothers wins, Mario.
Yes!
Good job.
Congratulations. Party on, Mario.
Thank you.
The Blues Brothers will join the Untouchables and Ferris Bueller, and that means on Friday, it'll be the Fugitive versus Adventures in Babysitting.
Wow.
The winner of that one will round out our final four, and it looks like right now it would be Ferris Bueller versus the winner of... it's Ferris Bueller versus the winner of Fugitive Adventures in Babysitting, and it'll be Blues Brothers versus the Untouchables.
That's going to be tough. But it's 106 miles to Chicago, Justin.
You ready for that?
Got a half tank of gas, pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it!
Definitely.
They're never going to catch me. I'm on a mission from GAC.
Mario Smith and Rich Lenkoff tonight. Thanks both of you guys for participating in the Ultimate Chicago
Movie
Game.
Thank you. It was awesome.
Thank you.
So much fun.